Luke chapter 6 this morning, and we're going to read just one verse, verse 31, and then I'll read to you, quote to you Matthew's version of the verse, and then we'll get into our message. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Matthew 7:12 says it a little bit differently. It says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." You know, that last phrase should sound somewhat similar to us. You'll recall that Jesus was asked of a lawyer what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus' response was that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he said the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Also, in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 9, it says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And so our text, which is Luke 6:31, is an illustration or a demonstration of what biblical love is. And again, let me read it one more time. And it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." You know, I am thankful that the Bible is very simple. I'm glad that I don't have to turn through every page of the Old Testament and make a list as to how God expects for me to interact with other people. I don't have to do that. Jesus has made it very simple for us. He said, you can summarize all of those Old Testament commandments, all of those Old Testament laws, in just one phrase: love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you want to know what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, it's given to us here in this one verse. And again, it says, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them." It's not very complicated to figure out how God wants you as a believer to treat other people. And it really makes no difference whether it's a sibling or a spouse, a sinner or a saint. You're to treat them all the same way. You're to treat them as exactly how you would want them to treat you. Doesn't that make it rather simple? Because when you're faced with interacting with someone, no matter who they are in relationship to you, if you're wondering how you should approach them, how you should speak to them, how you should act towards them, just think to yourself, I need to speak to them as I would want them to speak to me. I need to act towards them as I would want them to act towards me. I guess this is what many people call the golden rule. And can I say before I get started in this message that attempting to obey the golden rule will not take you to heaven.
That's right.
This is an admonition for Bible-believing people. I don't believe a lost person has the capability to fulfill this commandment in their life. They don't have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. And while there might be moments while they appear to demonstrate this particular command, this particular trait that we're talking about, in whole, I just don't believe it's possible for a lost man to exhibit what Jesus is describing here in this verse. But if you're a saved person, and you have the Spirit of God living within you, you've recognized Jesus Christ as your Savior and received Him as such, you have the ability to fulfill this commandment. And God expects you to. But this, again, doing this doesn't save anybody, but this ought to be the result of someone who is saved. They ought to act this way. And so again, this morning, all I want to do is to explore the thought, how do you want to be treated? And then using the answers and the responses that we come up with in our own minds, we'll make a very practical application of it. But again, the title of the message is, how do you want to be treated? Some of us here are a spouse. We're married. Not everybody here is married, so just hold out with me and we'll get to you eventually, all right? But as a spouse, how do you want to be treated? Whether you're a husband or a wife, just think for a moment in your own mind how you would like for your spouse to treat you. And let's just start the beginning of the day, all right? The alarm clock goes off, and it's time for you to wake up. How would you like to be treated by your spouse at that point in the day? Probably the first thing that you would like from your spouse is for them to, you know, turn their alarm off and get up and to allow you to continue to sleep in. I mean, that might be our first response. My wife has no problem ignoring the alarm clock. It doesn't bother her. And my wife has, and when it happens to be her turn to get up early, which is, you know, perhaps on a Saturday morning, it doesn't happen all that often, but she's very considerate. She just pops right up. I'm glad about that. I don't have to listen. I don't hear the alarm because it doesn't go off long enough for me to hear it. But, you know, as we wake up in the morning, some of us would think to ourselves, you know what? We would like for our spouse to allow us to sleep in. Now, in certain homes, that can be difficult. If there's little babies, if there's little children running around, somebody's got to be up to kind of keep an eye on them. And of course, we would always like for it to be our spouse, wouldn't we? And then probably a couple hours later, we'd like to wake up to breakfast in bed. Bacon, eggs, big tall glass of Mountain Dew. Maybe the newspaper, if we read such things, on the tray. Get a kiss on the cheek, and there's our spouse bringing to us breakfast in bed, watching all the children, making sure that they're quiet so that we can sleep in. You know, in the mornings, I'm sure that many of us who are spouses, we'd like to have some assistance in grooming and dressing the little children. If we are the ones that have to rush off to town or to work, we would like for our spouse to go outside and maybe warm up the vehicle so that when we got in it in the wintertime anyway, it would be nice and warm and we wouldn't have to freeze. I mean, that's how we probably, some of us would think about the morning time. That's how we would like to be treated. We'd like to be allowed to sleep in. We'd like breakfast in bed. We'd like some assistance with the grooming and the dressing of the children. We'd like to have the vehicle warmed up. I don't know. I'm sure you can come up with other things, other ways that you would like to be treated early in the morning by your spouse. And you know what the Bible says to you? That's the way you should treat your spouse. If sleeping in the morning is something that you desire to do, it's quite possible that your spouse also desires to sleep in. And so Jesus says, well, why don't you let him? If you are the type of individual that would like to have breakfast in bed, then there's a chance maybe that your spouse would also like breakfast in bed. So rather than concentrating on how they treat you, why don't you treat them how you want to be treated? I don't eat breakfast, so I don't really care about that one. But if you find yourself frustrated at times because you have to put forth so much effort in getting the children ready for school, church, or whatever it might be, your spouse may have the same frustrations. Why don't you treat them the way you'd want to be treated? But let's move past breakfast and morning time, and let's move to the heat of the day, during the day, anytime. How would you like to be treated by your spouse? Wives always seem to indicate that they would like to have some assistance in changing diapers, taking out the trash, maybe even cooking the meals. They'd like to have help doing those things. So maybe they should cheerfully do them for their spouse. How do you want to be treated during the day? How do you want to be spoken to throughout the day by your spouse? Wives, what types of things do you long to hear from your husbands? Husbands, what types of things do you long to hear from your wives? Because chances are, if you want to hear certain things, they also want to hear them. And the Bible's admonition to you is to treat them and to speak to them in the same manner that you would want to be treated, that you would want to be spoken to. Have you ever heard a spouse say to their husband or wife, "You can't do anything right"? If you've ever uttered those words, can you imagine what you would feel like if that was spoken to you? Wouldn't you rather be appreciated for what you do in your home? Wouldn't you like for your spouse to recognize everything that you do? A wife, if you're a wife, I'm sure that you want your husband to recognize the effort that you put forth to cook the meals, the effort that you put forth to clean the house, the effort that some of you put forth to teach your children. I'm sure you want to be recognized for those things. Husband, don't you want to be recognized for all the hard work that you perform to provide for your wife and to provide for your children? Don't you want to be recognized for perhaps the wonderful father that you are and spending time with the children and trying to mold them into the image of Jesus Christ? Of course you do. Realize your wife is looking for the same recognition. Wives, realize that your husband is looking to be recognized for all the good that he does. Don't you want to be appreciated? If that's how you feel, that's probably how your spouse feels too. And Jesus says you need to do to others as you would have them to do unto you. That includes your spouse. What about when it comes time for the evening? How do you want to be treated by your spouse? You know, there's a term that they use today. It's called me time. I mean, I'm not in favor of people having this mentality that's selfish. You know, I need my me time. But you know, it is true. I know I have recognized in my own life that, you know, there are times where I want to get away and concentrate on one thing and to do that one thing and not have to be distracted, maybe even perhaps with children. But my wife, she's always been good about that, to give me those times. I got to come down to the church at times and get away from everybody to be able to study. And she gives me that time, and I appreciate it. And you know, I realize that there's probably times when she feels like she needs the same thing, where she needs to go and to do something to get away from all the distractions and just be able to enjoy herself. I mean, if I enjoy those types of times, I should give her the benefit of having the same privilege. You see what I'm saying? How is it, as a spouse, you want to be treated? That's how you should treat your spouse. A husband wants to be able to go hunting. A wife wants to be able to go to the scrapbook alley. And so how should the two behave towards one another? Well, if the husband enjoys to go hunting alone and by himself, he should recognize that his wife too probably likes to be alone and go to the scrapbook retreat by herself. Other ways that a spouse likes to be treated. Of course, a spouse wants the loyalty of their husband or wife. They want their devotion. They want them to be faithful to them, right? Or in other words, you don't want your spouse flirting with other people. You don't want your spouse to commit adultery with someone else. You don't want them to treat you that way. That would be an offense against you. And so for you to do those types of things is an offense towards your spouse and in direct disobedience to our text. Before you would ever jump off and do something like that, ask yourself, how would you feel if the shoe was on the other foot? How would you feel if your spouse cheated on you, flirted with another individual beside you? How would you feel? That's not the way you would want to be treated. And therefore, that's no way to treat your spouse. But let's move past the spouse. Let's talk to the young people for a moment. Let's talk about how you want to be treated as a sibling. How do you want to be treated, young people, boys, girls? How do you want to be treated as a brother or a sister? You know, say mom's made a wonderful cake. It's your favorite cake. You and your brother's favorite cake. And there's only one piece left. And it's bright and early in the morning and you're sure hungry and you're looking for something to eat for breakfast. And both of you spot that piece of cake at about the same time. And then you look at each other. And both of you at the same time. Mom, can I have the last piece of cake? What would you like for your brother to do at that point? What would you like for your brother to do? You would like for him to say, oh, you can have it. I'll find something else. I'll eat an apple. And you can have the cake. Wouldn't you like your brother to do that if there was only one piece of cake left? Wouldn't you like him to give it to you? That's what you would like him to do. But the Bible here says, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. If that's what you would want your brother to do for you, that's what you should do for him. Real practical, isn't it? Real simple. What if there's only one MP3 player in the house? And of course you would like to use it and listen to it, but so would your sister. What would you like your sister to do? If both of you wanted to use it, you had a hold of this side of the cord and they had a hold of this side of the cord, and wouldn't you want them just to let go and say, that's all right? Take your time, you listen to it. When you're done, then just let me know and I'll listen to it then. Isn't that how you would like for your sister to behave towards you? Well, the Bible says if that's how you want to be treated by your sister, that's how you should treat your sister. You want to ride on the horse, but so does your sibling. You want to ride on the four-wheeler, but so does your sibling. You want to ride on the sled, but so does your sibling. You want to ride on the bike, but so does your sibling. What would you like for them to do? You'd like for them to just say, you go ahead. You can ride first. And if that's the way that you would want to be treated by your brother or sister, that's the way you should treat your brother or sister. You should let them go first. For you real young ones, sometimes there's a ball you want to play with. Right? But your brother or sister wants to play with it too. You'd like for mom and dad to make them let you play with it first. That's what you'd like to happen. But Jesus says what you ought to do, what you ought to do, is treat them the way you want to be treated. You should love them. What about when it comes to chores? I think in most families here in our church, there's more than one child at home. And so sometimes mom and dad, they take the chores and they distribute them amongst the children. And let's say it's January 1st and mom and dad's redistributing the responsibilities in the home and he's going to give every person a job to perform. What are you thinking to yourself? I hope I get the easiest one. I hope I get the real easy job. I hope I only have to unload the dishwasher instead of having to wash all the dishes. Because, boy, they're already clean after they ran through the dishwasher, and that's easy. That's the job I want. I hope my brothers and sisters, I hope they get the hard job. Matter of fact, what if Mom and Dad said, all right, who wants to volunteer for, and they give the hardest job, the one everybody hates to do? What are you hoping? You're hoping that your brother or sister volunteers for it. Matter of fact, you'll wait as long as you can to see if they volunteer for it, and you'll never volunteer for it. Why? Because it's the hard job. But you know what? If you would want your brothers and sisters to volunteer for that job so that you didn't have to do it, Jesus said you should treat them the way you want to be treated. You should volunteer for it. Or how about this? How about your brother or sister? They have a chore. They have a job. Mom or Dad has said, you know what? You need to clean your room. And yet, it's a nice sunny day outside and your brother or sister is just longing to get outside and play. You have the ability to go out and play now because all your chores are done, but they've got to stay there and clean that room. You know what? If you're the individual, if you're the child that's there having to clean their room, what do you want? How do you want to be treated? You want your brothers and sisters to come help you out, don't you? So that you can get your job done and go outside and play. That's how you would like to be treated. And if that's how you'd like to be treated, that's how you should be. That's how you should treat your brother or sister. Let me give you another example. Let's say the little brother, he's worked his hardest to build a Lego palace. And he's so proud of it. And so he comes in to older brothers and sisters and he said, come here, I got something I want to show you. And he kind of tugs at your clothes. Come here, I got something I want to show you. Because that little brother or sister, what does he want to do? He wants to show you his masterpiece. And he wants you to stand back in awe of it and say, boy, that is beautiful. Wouldn't that be how you would want to be treated? If you were the one that built the Lego palace, wouldn't you want to show somebody? That's how little children are. That's how big children are.
Right.
That's how adults are, matter of fact. We get a new toy. We get a new wood splitter. Come out. You need to see my new wood splitter.
Yes, sir.
And somebody said, no, I don't care about it. That hurt. I know I bought my first car when I was maybe 17 years old. T-top Monte Carlo.
Amen.
And worked for Cletus Gribble Printing Company. And so I drove it to work for the first day, and I think Cleet, he knew I was getting this car, so I said, I got my new car. You want to come out and see it? And he was in the middle of something, so he said, let me finish this up, and then I'll go check out your car. And I was a little disappointed because he didn't go see it right away, but he was in the middle of a print job. He couldn't just stop it. But then he stopped it and came and got me, and we went out and looked at the car. I'm sure that he could really have cared less about my new car. He had all kinds of new cars in his life. But to me, it was something important. It was my first car that I had ever purchased. And I was excited to show it off to somebody. And you know, realizing that that's the way I like to be treated, that I like to see people interested in the things that I'm interested in, when one of my children comes up to me and says, Dad, I got something I want to show you. I might be busy, but I got to realize that to this child, what they want to show me is important. You brothers and sisters, you have little brothers and sisters, and they want to show you a piece of paper that they scribbled on. That may not seem very important to you, but it's important to them, and you would want them to be interested in what you're interested in, and so you need to show some interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to walk in there and say, man, I could have did a lot better than that. That is terrible. That's pitiful. No, you need to say, that is very good.
Amen.
That is very nice. See, this is practical Christianity. After you get saved, how do you treat people? You treat them the way you want to be treated. Whether you're a spouse, whether you're a sibling, or what about if you're a saint? What if you're a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
What if you're a young person in the Lord? I'm talking about in years or maybe even in knowledge. How do you want to be treated by those that are older in the Lord, by those that are more mature in the Lord? Don't you want them to exhibit a great deal of patience rather than pointing out your every fault? If you're young in the Lord, yes, that's how you want to be treated. And so when you get old in the Lord, You need to make sure that's how you treat other young people in the Lord. If you're young in the Lord, do you want people to keep their distance from you because you're not as groomed in the Lord? Because you know what? Sometimes when people are either young in years or they're just young in the Lord and they haven't grown very much, they don't always dress like we think they should. They don't always look like we think they should. They don't always talk like we think they should. Maybe someone has been in the world for 25 years and then they get saved. You know what? If they've been a part of the world for 25 years, they're going to sound like it. And sometimes Christians can keep their distance from people like that. But put yourself in that person's shoes. Is that the way you'd want to be treated? I don't think so. I think you'd want someone to befriend you, to love you, and accept you. Just the way that you are. And at the same time, patiently trying to help you to grow in your newfound faith. But say you're young in the Lord, or maybe you're just a young person. Or imagine back to when you were a young person. Would you want to be treated like you're not important? Because I'm afraid that many times that's how children are treated by adults. Like they're not important. And they recognize that. When you were a child, can you think back that far? How did you want adults to treat you? Did you want them to just kind of put you off to the side? They used to always say, I don't know, do people say it anymore? Children should be seen and not heard. I tell people sometimes when they come to our house, we don't follow that philosophy just in case you haven't noticed. Because I realize those children want to be incorporated. Some of them want to be involved in the adult conversation. They find it interesting. And while there might be times that the child needs to be silent, I sure want my children to know they're important. How do you want to be treated when you're a more mature person in the Lord? Or when you're an older person? Do you want to be treated like you're old-fashioned and stuck in your ways? Do you want to be appreciated for the years of service you've had for the Lord? You know, there sometimes I've looked at older saints in the Lord, and they are old-fashioned and stuck in their ways. And they're really not apt to change. And I mean, that's all right. It's a trait of a conservative person. They don't like change. One of the guys I work with, he's a conservative, and he says, you know, really, we are in the wrong industry. Because we are, because, you know, electronics, IT, information systems is changing all the time. And we were joking about it. I said, yeah, what was wrong with DOS? Simple. We didn't have blue screen airs. We didn't even have blue. It was orange or green. And so we were kind of joking about that. Because, you know, conservatives don't like change. And so we don't always need to look at it as a negative when people are somewhat reluctant to change. Sometimes it'll keep them from going astray. But, you know, there came a time where I realized that, you know, one of these days I'm going to be an older person, a mature person. And I thought, how am I going to want people to treat me in that day? I'm going to want them to recognize my years of experience. I'm going to want them to recognize my faithful service for the Lord and to appreciate it rather than turn their noses up at it. And I thought, you know, if that's how I'm going to want to be treated when I'm a seasoned saint, then that's the way I should treat them now. I should appreciate their service for the Lord. I should value their experiences and try to seek what I can learn from it. So you see, whether we're an older saint or a younger saint, we need to stop and think how we'd like to be treated, and that's how we need to treat others. How about as a sinner? Those of you that are saved, can you put yourself in the sinner's shoes for a moment? How would you want to be treated by a saint if you were a sinner? Would you want to be looked down upon? Would you want to be looked upon with contempt, with dislike? No. I know it's hard for us to put ourselves in a sinner's shoes and then think how we'd want saints to treat us. Because some sinners would just want us to keep our mouth shut and never witness to them. And we realize we can't do that. But here is a saved person looking at lost sinners, knowing their spiritual condition, knowing what they could have in Christ Jesus. How do you think they would want us to treat them in an effort to get them saved? Look, I want to look at a couple of passages of scriptures that deal with this. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'm also going to turn to Luke chapter 10 in a moment in the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here in Ezekiel chapter 16, in verse 1, it says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, call Jerusalem to know her abominations." He says, "I want you to reveal to the nation of Israel their sins. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite." In other words, you were just you were akin to a bastard child. You were the child of a whore, if you will, of a heathen. Verse number 4. "And as for thy nativity," that is the day that you were born, "in the day that thou wast born, thy navel, that your belly button, was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." And if you've ever watched as a baby is born into this world, I know I've said this before, they are a mess. Oh, they're a mess. And they're like, "Do you want to hold the baby?" "No, give it a bath first. I don't want to hold the baby. Wash the blue and the red and the yuck and the blood. Get it off of the thing. Clean it up, put some lotion on it, make it smell good, and then I'll hold it." Of course, mom wants to hold it right away because mothers are crazy and irrational. And so, but here you got the scene before us of this, and he's again likened this unto the nation of Israel. You were born into this world and nobody cared for you. Your belly button wasn't cut. Nobody gave you a bath. Nobody washed you up. They didn't wrap you in clothes to keep you warm. Verse 5 says that no eye pitied thee. Nobody had compassion upon thee, but thou was just cast out into the open field to the lowing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Again, here we have a picture of a baby born into the world that's forgotten, that's bloody, that's cold, and that's left for dead. And I think that spiritually speaking, this is the same type of condition for the lost sinner. He's born into this world and forgotten. He's sinful, spiritually dead. Satan would seek to destroy the sinner, cast him into a miry pit and leave him there to die. And if you were the one at the bottom of the miry pit, if you were the one that was hungry, if you were the one that was cold, if you were the one that was dirty, what? How would you want someone to treat you? You'd want them to come running after you. You'd want them to throw down a rope. You'd want them to give you their coat. You'd want them to wash you up. Isn't that how you'd want to be treated as a sinner? In Luke chapter 10, Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. Of course, the man that was asking him questions wanted to justify himself in verse 29 and said, "Who's my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." But say you were the man that was robbed. You were the man that was stripped of your clothing, wounded, and left for dead. How would you want someone to treat you? How would you want the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan to treat you as they passed by? Wouldn't you want them to do as the Good Samaritan did? To wrap them in clothes, to care for the wounds, and to even pay out of their own pocket for a hotel room whereby they can have the time they need to heal? Isn't that how you'd want to be treated? Well, Jesus said, if that's how you would want to be treated, that's how you should treat others. God said in Ezekiel 16:6 again, and when I passed by thee, when I passed by thee, Israel, when I saw you forgotten, bloody, cold, and left for dead, he said, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's what God said to the nation of Israel. When they were good for nothing, he passed by and he said, live. And he cleaned them up. And he made them a great and a strong nation. Here in Luke chapter 10, the Samaritan, he walks by and he sees this man who was robbed, beaten, left for dead. And he takes care of him. He meets the need. As a sinner, you know how sinners ought to want to be treated? They ought to want someone to come alongside and throw them a lifeline. And to reel them in, so that they too can have eternal life. Again, all I've wanted to do this morning is to emphasize this truth that Jesus gives to us in Luke 6:31. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Go about your day, go about every day asking yourself, how would I want to be treated if I was in this person's shoes? And that's how you should treat them. You should treat others as you want to be treated. Because you know what the Bible says? No man ever yet hateth himself. We love ourselves. And we always want to be treated in a kind, in a respectful manner. And therefore we should always treat others in a kind and respectful manner. Let me read the verse one more time and then we'll close. It says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Whether it be a spouse, a sibling, a sinner, or a saint, you treat them how you'd want to be treated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for these simple principles that thou hast given us to help us in our lives. And God, I pray that this thought, this verse, would not fade from our minds quickly, but every day of our lives we would think about it and that we would treat others as we would have them to treat us. And Lord, help us to do this so that you might be glorified in heaven, and so that people who are lost could be saved, and so that people who are saved could be strengthened. God, help us to use our words to build people up and not to tear them down. Help us to use our actions to build people up, to encourage them in the faith, not to tear them down. So God, use the message preached here this morning for thy glory. Use it for the good of thy people, and use it, Lord, also to bring the sinner unto thyself. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 303, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus.